following presentation is brought to you by Faith Presbyterian Church Reformed. Delivering today's message will be Dr. Richard Bacon.
Luke chapter 24, hear now the very words of God. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since all these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. Very quickly, what we have here is, first of all, the statement that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day of the week, just as he had prophesied, just as he had promised he would do. Then we have, in this context, his appearance before various people. We know, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Paul said that he appeared to as many as 500 people at one time. Now, we don't know when that was. It's not recorded in any of the Gospels. But we know it happened because Paul said it happened. What I want you to see this morning is that the reason we meet on the first day of the week is because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Now listen carefully. We do not meet on the first day of the week because some pope said to. Anyone who says that about us is slandering us. The fact of it is, in this church, in Faith Presbyterian Church Reformed, we do not do anything because the Pope said to. Everything we do because we believe the Scripture teaches it. Now, is it possible for us to be wrong? Of course, we're uninspired. It is possible for us to be wrong, isn't it? Everybody do this. And you know what? People who disagree with us, it's possible for them to be wrong too. So the fact that it's possible for us to be wrong is not proof that we're wrong or that anybody's wrong just because it's possible for them to be wrong. Now, let me show you why we meet on the first day of the week and not on the seventh day of the week. Do you all understand? Do you understand at least this much, that it's in commemoration of the resurrection? That it's not just willy-nilly. It's not just, well, the church decided it should be Sunday. We were thinking about Thursday, but Sunday seemed better to us. No, it's not that way at all. The reason that the church meets, and I say the church, in Burma, what day does the church meet?
Sunday.
On Sunday. And you know what? In Europe, it meets on Sunday. And in Africa, it meets on Sunday. And in every part of Asia, it meets on Sunday. Now, why would that be? It's because Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, which we in the English language call Sunday. I think if we were going to change the English language, it would be good to get rid of the names of some of the gods that were worshipped by the Romans. But nevertheless, since we can't simply decide in and of ourselves to change the English language, we're just kind of stuck with what in our culture is called the first day of the week, or what is called Sunday, which is the first day of the week. Now, we're going to do a little bit of a comparative Bible study here, so jot these things down. We're recording it, so you can get the tape or the CD later on. And here's the reason I say this. The Bereans were considered noble, Acts 17:11. You all know that passage? Acts 17:11. But these were more noble, these Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So what's the first thing they're commended for? Receiving it with readiness of mind. What's the second thing they're commended for? Searching it out to make sure it's true. So if we're going to be good Bereans, those are the two things we have to do. We have to receive it with readiness, but also we can't accept it just because the Pope or just because Pastor Bacon said so. We have to search the Scriptures whether those things are so. Now, here in Luke 24, look with me at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, or 70 furlongs. It's a healthy walk, but it's not a long walk. Now, what is that same day? First day of the week. Here's what I'm going to represent to you. I'm going to represent to you that every instance of an appearance of Christ after His resurrection in which the Scripture tells us what day it was will be on the first day of the week. Did you catch that? I didn't say that every time He appears it tells us what day it was. But every time it tells us what day it was, the day it was is the first day of the week. Now, why would the gospel writers be so particular about letting us know it's the first day of the week? Because it's a very special day. It is a very special day. So now, verse 13, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. It's that same day. What same day? The same day that Jesus rose from the dead. In other words, the first day of the week. Then drop down in the same chapter, if you will, to verse 33. And they rose up that same hour. Now, this is supper time the same day. In other words, I told you already that it's a healthy walk, but it's not a long walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They get to Emmaus. Jesus stays for supper. As soon as Jesus vanishes from their sight, their heart burns within them. And then what is their response? And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Okay, are you with me? What time is it? Roughly it's supper time. Okay, whatever time you have evening meal, think of that. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I don't know. It's evening meal time. Then look what happened when they got there. They found the 11 gathered together. Now, they're not gathering together because it's the Sabbath day. Why are they gathering together? Because it's the first day of the week and they're still discussing, wow, what happened? It seems that Jesus rose from the dead. Right? All the evidence that they've got so far, all the testimony that they've got so far is that Jesus rose from the dead. And look what they said. They said, that is to say, the 11 that were gathered together said to the two that just showed up, the Lord is risen indeed, and He has appeared to Simon. So now look, we've got Christ appearing to the two on the road to Emmaus, to Simon, and watch this. As the 11 are gathered together, look what's about to happen. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself showed up. Right? Verse 36. Jesus Himself showed up. So, we'll know from, in just a moment, we'll know from another passage that He also appeared to Mary Magdalene and some of the women on that same first day of the week. So here we have the first day of the week, the very day that He's risen from the dead. He has, so far in the passages that we've examined already, He has appeared to Simeon, or to Simon. He has appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. And now He has just appeared to all 11 plus two here in the upper room. Do you see that? Okay, now, move to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. I'm going to back up and then we'll come back to John in just a minute. Mark, chapter 16, and at verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, or Mary Magdalene as it's sometimes pronounced, to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So he's risen the first day of the week, and what day of the week does he appear to Mary Magdalene? First day of the week. Now drop down, if you will, to verse 16. No, that's not right. Verse 12. Verse 12, after that, he appeared in another form, In other words, he didn't look like a bearded lady, but whatever he looked like, he looked different as he appeared to different people. Mary Magdalene had known him up until 3 days earlier, right? She didn't recognize him in the garden. She said, "Are you the gardener? If you are, what have you done with Jesus?" She didn't recognize him. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, one of them was Cleopas. And if you do enough examination of Scripture, you find, and this is the beauty of the begats, you find out that Cleopas was Jesus' uncle. And he doesn't recognize him. So people say, well, don't you think the disciples must have had an image, a vision? They must have known what Jesus looked like in their minds, and therefore you can. It's okay to form an image of him in your mind. Apparently they didn't. The scriptural evidence is they had no idea what he looked like. After he was risen from the dead, he must have looked significantly different from the way he looked prior to his death. Does that make sense? I mean, from the scripture data that we have here, doesn't that make sense of it? Okay. Now, the two of them that, as they're walking in the country, who do you suppose that's talking about, the two people that are walking in the country on the same day? It's talking about the two that we just read about in Luke. So once again, this is the first day of the week. Now, turn, if you will, to Matthew, as long as we're going this direction, turn back to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9. Now, in each of those cases, we either see that it is testified directly, or by good and necessary consequence, we can see that those appearances all took place on the first day of the week. Are you with me still? Okay, now, at Matthew 28:9, and as they, that is to say the women, went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail," and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. In other words, while they're still running back from the sepulcher, when did they get to the sepulcher? Very early on the first day of the week. While they're still running back from the sepulcher, Jesus met them, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. So, what is the significant thing here? First of all, that he met them on that first day of the week, and secondly, when they beheld him, what did they do? They worshipped him. What do we do on the first day of the week? As we behold Christ, we worship Him. All right. Then, finally, and by the way, at this point, I think we have sufficient evidence that someone might say, well, yeah, that's the first day of the week. But that doesn't mean it's supposed to be commemorated week after week after week after week, does it? Right? Just because He appeared to all of His disciples on that first day of the week doesn't mean that we're supposed to repeat that week after week after week. Do you see the objection? Okay, I want to handle that objection. I want to show you that that's not a valid objection, even though you will hear it from Seventh-day Adventists and other Seventh-day groups. Those Seventh-day groups, I'll give them this, they want to honor God's law in the Fourth Commandment, but they're doing it incorrectly. There's such a thing as obeying God correctly, and there's such a thing as obeying God incorrectly. So we do keep the seventh day, but we keep it on the first day of the week. Now, if you are meeting on the first day of the week, and then you meet again 7 days later, let's call it the 1st of August, then you meet again 7 days later, what will be the date? The 8th day. That's right. It will be the 8th of August now. So if we see something here that says the 8th day, understand the first day of the week plus 7 more. That's the 8th day. All right, in John's Gospel, chapter 20, and we'll read first at verse 15, and I'm wanting to show you, first of all, this is the very time of His resurrection. He appears, first of all, to Mary Magdalene, right? We saw that in Mark's Gospel, that He appeared, first of all, to Mary Magdalene. You remember that? Okay, here's the account of it. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Then Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He called her by name. And what happens when he calls her by name? She recognizes him, just as the two disciples on their way to Emmaus also recognized him at the breaking of bread. Right? Okay. This is that very first day of the week. So it doesn't count as another appearance. It's just the account of an appearance we already knew about. Are you with me? Drop down to verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they weren't assembled for fear of the Jews, they weren't taking up arms against the Jews. If they were, they'd have been doing it in the courtyard with spears, wouldn't they? They were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, but they were assembled. And they were behind shut doors. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, Peace be unto you. Now, what day of the week is it? First day of the week. They're all assembled. They're all gathered together talking about what has happened to Jesus. And who shows up again? Jesus shows up again. Now, I'm saying again, I do believe that this is the same account that we had earlier in Luke, where the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus come, and then while they are there, Jesus shows up. I think this is the same account. I can't prove that, but we do have him showing up on that very first Resurrection Sunday amongst the 11. And why would he do that twice? Right? Why would he show up, leave, and come back? So it seems to me that what we have here is the same account that we had in Luke about the appearing amongst the 11 in the upper room. Then drop down to verse 26. And here's the thing where I wanted to get your commitment to what it means to say on the eighth day or after 8 days. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. Now, are they meeting on the Sabbath day? We don't know. We have no idea whether they were meeting on the Sabbath day. No clue. But we do know this, that when the eighth day came, that is to say, when that first day of the week came again, here they are assembled. Do you see that? Now, they may have been meeting every day. I don't know. It's not said that they met every day, but it is said that they met on that eighth day. On that 1 + 7 = 8. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. This time, Thomas is with them. What's the significance? First time, Thomas wasn't where everybody was meeting, so he missed out on the blessing, didn't he? Okay, is there a lesson there for us, by the way? Yeah. Be where the folks are assembled, because that's where it's most likely Jesus is going to show up. So Thomas wasn't there, but this time Thomas is there. This time, Thomas apparently has learned his lesson. He's repented. He said, you know what? When you guys are getting together, let me know. I'll be there. So Thomas, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. What day of the week is it? First day of the week. What are they doing? They're all assembling together. Who shows up? Jesus. And then, by the way, he said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. What is he doing? He's worshiping him, isn't he? When he says, My Lord and my God, is that not worship? I put it to you, that's exactly what it is. So we've looked at John, we've looked at Mark, we've looked at Luke, we've looked at Matthew. In other words, we've looked at all four of the accounts of the Gospels, all four of the evangelists. And what do all four of them indicate? That when Jesus met with his disciples, it was on the first day of the week. But let me show you something else. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Now, I'm not skipping over Acts 13 and 14 deliberately. I know that Paul went and preached in the synagogues. And because the synagogues met on the Sabbath day, what day do you suppose he showed up? Do you think he showed up at the synagogue the day the doors would be locked or the day the doors would be open? What's your guess? Open. That means that, yes, he did. He went to the synagogue, therefore he went on the Sabbath day. That's true enough. So I'm not skipping over 13 and 14. I'm simply wanting you to see when it was a specifically Christian assembly, what did they do? And look at Acts chapter 20, and verse 7 will be the key verse, but not without verse 6. And we, and this is Luke writing now, and we, that is Paul and I and others, sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now, how many days did they abode in Troas? 7 days. That means that they hit every single day of the week. If they were there 7 days, were they there on a Monday? Were they there on a Wednesday? How about a Friday? Were they there on a Friday? And they would also have been there on a Jewish Sabbath day too, wouldn't they? All right, now look at verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Notice that Paul could have preached to them on the Sabbath day. There's no indication that he did or that he didn't. But the day that Luke wants us to know that he preached to the disciples at Troas, what day of the week was it? First day of the week. And the phrase there, when they came together, that carries a progressive idea that as it was normal for them to come together, just like when Jesus comes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day in Luke chapter 4, it was just normal for him to do it. Same way here, it was normal for the disciples to get together on the first day of the week, and because of that, that's the day that Paul prepared a sermon. That's the day Paul came together with them and preached to them. Are you with me yet?
Yes.
Now, how many times have I mentioned the Pope? I mean, except to exclude him. How many times have I quoted the Pope saying, the reason we get together on Sunday is because the Pope thought it would be a swell idea? 0 times. So please, as you explain Pastor Bacon's position to other people, leave the Pope out of it. One last place. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. So now, what is he talking about? Is he talking about people getting together in their homes and celebrating Christmas? Is he talking about all sitting around and singing carols? What's he talking about? He's talking about a church meeting, isn't he? As I have said to the churches of Galatia, so do I also say to you, the church at Corinth, what? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings till I come. Now, are you ready for... this objection is so silly that I want to laugh at it rather than answer it. But I'll leave it up to you to answer it. There are some who say, the reason they were supposed to lay by the first day of the week in store is because that was payday. Oh, really? If that were the case, then it's against the law for you to work for an employer that pays on any other day. Do you really believe that Paul thought that everybody in Corinth and amongst all the churches at Galatia all had the same payday and it was the first day of the week? Is that what you really think? Does that even make sense to you? I put it to you that objection falls to the ground. It's meaningless. It's fruitless. Now, does this mean that Sunday, the first day of the week, whatever you want to call it, I prefer the term Lord's Day myself. And that does follow the modern Greek, which is the name for Sunday in the modern Greek is Kyriake, or Kyriake, the Lord's Day, the day of the Lord. So I prefer that designation. But whether you call it Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, it doesn't matter. Is it the Christian Sabbath? Good question. Okay. Well, let's think of it this way. Do we have any indication that the fourth commandment has been rescinded? No. In fact, it's kind of stuck right there in the middle of the moral law, isn't it? And yet, we find the Christians, in every instance where we have an instance in the New Testament, we find the Christians meeting on the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week. So, is there still a Sabbath? Yes. But the day has been changed. Because we no longer commemorate that first creation. We commemorate the new creation that came about with Christ's resurrection from the dead. That's why we do it. By the way, it's why we've been doing it for 2,000 years, with the exception of a few cultists that sprung up in the middle of the 19th century. The church has been meeting on the first day of the week and celebrating the first day of the week as Kyriake, as the Lord's Day, for 2,000 years. And I put it to you that while having a long beard doesn't make something right, it's strange that there was no reference to anyone objecting to it for the first 1,850 years, and it took people who not only have a misunderstanding of the law, but also have a misunderstanding of the gospel, to say we ought to go back to meeting on the seventh day.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Richard Bacon of Faith Presbyterian Church Reformed in Mesquite, Texas. For more information on FPCR Ministries, visit our website at www.fpcr.org or contact us by mail at 6702 Dal Rock Road, Suite 126, PMB 214, Rowlett, Texas 75089.